All right. So I'm excited to be preaching this word today. I hope that God will reveal to you some things that he revealed to me through it. Patrick preached last week, and he made a comment that God had perfectly timed this series for what the world was going through right now. The pretty cool thing about that is I've seen and I've looked around online, and there's a lot of churches going through the exact same series, which is powerful. You know, it shows me that this is in the hands of God right now. Have you ever had that friend or that brother, that sister that, you know, when they wanted something done, that they were just so annoying, like they would pinch you, or they would push at you, or thump your ear, whatever the case may be, like they would just continually try to annoy you to get their way. Most of you know what I'm talking about. That's kind of what God and I have been doing lately. You see, I felt this a while back, God kind of pressing on me to preach again, and I sat in the pew, and Patrick would preach, and TJ would preach, and Ben would preach, and I'm like, God, I can't do that, man. I can't communicate the way that they're doing. You know, so I would continually say no, that I'm not ready. I don't want to do it again yet. God had to remind me that it's not about how I can preach like somebody else. It's about preaching to him, you know, through the Holy Spirit. So one morning on my way to work, I was feeling pretty good. You know, I had my music jamming. I had listened to a good word that morning walking around the neighborhood. And I don't know, God started pressing on me again. So I parked my truck at work, and I send Patrick a text to say, hey, man, I thought I came up with this good idea of between semesters. I was going to ask him, can I preach? And I give him like two weeks to kind of put me in. I figured he can't do it, you know. So I sent him a text and said, hey, man, I'm gonna try to work in maybe a sermon or two when you know, during my off semesters. So he texted me back and like, when's your classes in? I said, this week. And so by the time I parked my truck, I hit send, I walk around to get my book bag to go into work, literally like 1.5 seconds, he's like, hey man, May 3rd, you ready to preach? I'm like, man, I guess. So I started trying immediately to talk myself out of it again. So I texted him, I said, I'm gonna go ahead and say yeah, because if I don't, I'll talk myself out. It's crazy too, man, because of the timing that God had in this word, was just the right word at that time. You see, God's been doing a lot in my life in the past year with work. I took this promotion at work, and it was like my balance in life used to be God, family, work, and then school. And then when I took this job, it started slowly turning around to work, family, school, and then sometimes God, you know. So he started revealing some things to me. Have you ever, and kids, don't try this at home, but have you ever had that rubber band that you put around your finger, and then you look at your finger and it's starting to turn purple? And you're like, You know, you start cutting your finger off from the life flow. You know, you start slowly killing your finger. You know, I feel like that's what I was doing. I was cutting my life flow from Jesus off by sticking other things in my life in front of him. You know, so what right now is becoming more important in your life than your relationship with Jesus? What have you allowed become the source of your day and your energy? You know, there are good things that you can take a hold of, and it can drain your source of spiritual fruits. Your family, your career, outdoor activities, sports, accomplishments, money, reputation, material things. All of these are good things, but all can be stripped away, cut out, pruned, taken out of your life if you put them in front of God. They can all become burdens if you allow them to be what you live for. You know, none of those things provide the spiritual fruits in life when you get them out of balance. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart from all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. What is your heart desiring right now? You ever seen those little fruit flies that fly around? You know, they prevent you to try to enjoy the fruits that you just bought you know. You get some bananas, you leave them out for a day or two, and then you got the fruit flies going. Don't let those things, those fruit flies, avoid you from enjoying the great fruits that the Spirit of God is trying to give to you. Keep your life in balance. So we're going to be looking today at I am the true vine and what that means in abiding in Jesus as the followers of Christ. So turn with me to John 15, 1 through 11. John 15, 1 through 11. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Let us pray. Father God, Father, we gather here today, whether in person, whether online, Father, but we gather together as a body, Father, and we just come to hear your word, Father, to glorify you, to worship you, to praise you, Father. Father, I pray that you would just, Father, that you would just use me in this moment, Father, as I'm unworthy to be here, Father. Father, but you have made me clean, Father. You have changed me, Father. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just move into somebody else's life, Father. Father, I pray that if there's somebody today that isn't abiding in you the way that they should or at all, Father, that you would just reveal that to them. Father, lead us, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus here says, I am the true vine. But what does that mean when he says true vine? Is there a false vine? The hearers here, the disciples in this case, you know, they would have known what Jesus was referring to. All throughout the Old Testament, God refers to Israel as the vine, but not just any vine. They are a corrupt, a disobedient people. Israel's disobedience made them an empty vine with the inability to produce good fruit and disqualified them as a channel for which God's blessings flow. You can see it in Scripture. In Psalms 80, God brought his people, a vine, out of Egypt and prepared a place for them, the promised land, with enough room for the vine to be planted deeply, but they fail. The psalmist cries out in verse 17 and 18, the Son of Man who you've made strong, so will we not turn from you. Give us life. In Isaiah 5, he explains the disobedience of Israel and the bad fruits that they've produced. Jeremiah 2, 21, yet I planted a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine? See, every mention of Israel as the vine was never with good intentions. Those blessings now come only from union with Jesus Christ, the true vine. Jesus is replacing Israel as God's plan of salvation with faith in Jesus becoming the decisive characteristic for membership of God's people. Faith in Christ alone is membership into God's people, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus here is telling the disciples that he is here to do what Israel couldn't. He's here to do what you can't do, what I can't do. He is the obedient embodiment of the land of Israel. He came to be what we can't be, to live how we can't live, to love how we can't love, to sacrifice how we can't sacrifice, to die how we should die, and to give grace to the point that we can't wrap our minds around. He says, I am the true vine, the source of life and faith. He continues on in his teaching. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Man, that is not what I expected when I read through this. Hey, you're bearing fruit. That's good. I'm going to prune you so you can bear more fruit. He's telling the disciples that they're bearing fruit, but he's got to do more work in their lives so that they can bear more and be better, to produce more fruit. To have the best fruits from a vine, it takes continuous pruning, even the ones that are bearing fruit. The Father prunes the true branches by removing anything that would sap their spiritual energy and hinder them from fruitful results. He cuts away anything that limits righteousness, including disciplines that come from trials, sufferings, pains, and heartaches. As Christians, we should remember that the knowledge of God supersedes anything that we will ever understand. God uses the pains that Christians endure for their ultimate good. So that should eliminate all fear, self-pity, and complaining about our current trials. God is using your trials for pruning to make you better, to love better, to have more patience, to have better self-control, to strengthen your faith, to strengthen your gentleness and your goodness. Hebrews 12:7-11 says, it is for the discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there for whom the Father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. The Father prunes us to make us better and more fruitful. The Father loves your fruit more than you do. Man, you want to see a people run around with what was right in their own eyes? Just read through Judges for a little bit. Pruning, discipline, correction, these are good things. God taking something out of your life to produce something better, that's a good thing. In verse 3 through 11, Jesus explains that the root of staying connecting is abiding in him. He tells the disciples that they are the branches of the vine. The believer is the branches of the vine. We're the ones that go out into the world and imitate Jesus to bear witness and to obey all that he commands and to love one another. Jesus continues on and explains to the disciples that they are clean. See, in the upper room while washing their feet, Jesus tells the disciples that they are already clean except one of them. 11 of the disciples clung to Jesus and his word so tightly, and they were cleansed by their faith in Christ. But Judas, however, is the dead branch that's been cut away. He is the branch not connected to the vine. And the crazy part is, you remember in the upper room a couple chapters ago when Jesus says this, none of them knew who he was talking about. You know, they're up there like, who's going to betray you? Me? Nah, I'm not going to do it. You? Nobody knew. What does that tell you about some of the dead branches in the church? Examine yourself. Are you bearing fruit? If not, why? The disciples here are so deeply bound to Jesus and his word and faith in him that they are ready and able to do his work and bear fruit. Jesus makes us a warning, though, that we cannot bear fruit apart from him. You cannot do it yourself. You cannot produce the spiritual fruits apart from connecting and abiding in Jesus Christ. Here's where so many people fail to make the connection. Here's where I failed to make that connection. We start filling our lives with stuff first, and then Jesus gets whatever's left for what we have time for. So what are you filling your life with right now? What are you putting first in your life? What is the first thing you think about, and where do you spend most of your time? What do you give your heart to? Are you losing connection to the vine, to Jesus? People give themselves to so much stuff these days. Some abide in alcohol because they think it relaxes the moment. Some abide in drugs to get out of reality. Some abide in affairs to get something out of it that they're not putting in their marriage. Some abide in lust and greed and selfishness. Those are the easy ones to spot. Some abide in making a reputation for themselves to feel important. Some abide in their jobs to have a title by their name. Some abide in their wealth and material things. Some even abide in their families. Even some pastors abide in their ministry. Their ministries are above Jesus. Satan can take good things and try to steer you in the opposite direction. Your fruit is a byproduct of what you're abiding in. See, there's a lot of good things in there, but when we put most of our effort and time into those things and not God, we're filling our lives full of stuff that just can't satisfy what He can. We're filling our lives with false hope, false truths, false comforts, false employment, false enjoyment. All those things will rust and rot and are of no eternal value. Have you ever had one of those moments where you just felt so distracted from God or disconnected, you know? Like, you're showing no love, no kindness. You feel no peace. You're far from being gentle. I have. And every single time that I feel that way, if I look at my abiding, my scripture reading, my communion with other believers, it's always lacking. My abiding in Christ is far from existent in those times. So why are we prone to leave the vine that we love? It's because we're easily deceived in believing that we are the vines and not the branches. Remember Satan's original deception? You will be like God. Remember he approaches Eve, like, hey girl, you see this fruit? You want to be like God? You want to know stuff? That's what we tend to do. We want to be the vine. We don't want to be the branches. We want to bear our own fruit. See this branch right here? About a month ago, this was a nice, green, living branch. And then we had some fierce storms come through a couple weeks ago. And in my house, we had this big old limb that fell, and this branch was a part of that limb. It was disconnected from life. We can get this way too, that if we don't stay connected to Christ, this is how our life can start to turn into. It can start bearing deadness. We can get consumed with the busyness of life. We can slip into patterns of to-do lists. Those times that we get in those busy routines, if we don't stay focused on Christ, Jesus tends to get pushed into the background. Then we start getting these ruts and bad fruit starts to grow, and we try to be our own vine. Then we ask ourselves, self, why can't I love my coworkers? Why can't I show kindness to my spouse? Why do I not have joy in my life? Why am I so impatient with my kids? Why do I feel like I have lost all self-control? We start looking like this branch. We just look ragged. When we start trying to make fruits ourselves, we start trying to be the vine. We look at ourselves and we say, grow love, grow kindness, grow patience, and nothing. Nothing. Look at yourself. You try to take it on sometimes. You try to be the vine that Jesus wants to be for you. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. The fruit isn't of your doing. Jesus is standing on the side pleading, just abide in me. That's all you have to do. Stay with me. I will feed your spirit, for I am the bread. I will light your spirit, because I am the light of the world. I am the gate for your spirit's protection. I am the good shepherd, for I will lead you in the right path. I am the resurrection and the life, and will give life to your spirit that was once dead. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine that will supply nourishment for you. Just abide in me. Just love. Let's look at the pruning part again. And look at our world right now. Look at all the pruning and the cutting away that's been there in the last month or two. What's been removed from your life that has been revealed that you don't need? What has God shown you in the past month that you've been clinging to? See, nobody could have predicted all that has happened over the course of the last couple months from this COVID-19. No, if you'd have told me this in January, I'd have probably told you were insane, all that's going on. But God knew. He knew what was fixing to happen. And many of us are being pruned of some sort of things that we don't need, that we just couldn't see. So what does he cut out of your life? What are you holding on to? What are you gripping so hard that your knuckles are turning white? Jesus says, give it to me. Just let it go. And Courtney went to the grocery store a couple days ago. And she asked the lady how she was doing at the cash register, checking her out. The lady responds, you know, I'm good, but man, dealing with people is just so hard. People are just so mean and rude during this pandemic. So they only care about themselves. Many people are lost. They're confused. They're scared. They're worried, stressed, and feel like they have no hope. A lot of those people that take it out on others either don't have faith in Christ or they're letting themselves get far from abiding in Christ. There's a harvest full of lost people out there that don't know that we were once separated from God by our sins. That God loved us so much, it wanted to reconcile us to himself. He wanted to be in a right relationship with us, but we are sinful people. But God had this great plan. He would do it himself. Why put the burden on someone else he loved so much, so he stepped out of heaven? He came to earth as a man. Jesus Christ, fully divine, fully man. Jesus took on this death for our sake. He bore the sins that man should have borne. He went to the cross for our salvation as a substitutionary atonement. He died, but 3 days later, he arose. He defeated death and is seated at the right hand of God. And all you have to do is put your faith in him. Turn from your sins and give life to Jesus. His grace covers anything that you have ever done. Just repent and believe. Hope does have a name. It's Jesus. If you feel as though you've never came to faith in Jesus Christ, just speak to Patrick, Ben, TJ. Man, just ask the Holy Spirit, do you feel far away from God? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what you're putting in front of him. What are you putting in front of Jesus? I'm going to leave you with this. Satan's standing on the street corner, giving away a lot of bad fruit. He has baskets full of fruit that is dead, spoiled, bitter, angry, depressed, in despair, struggling with anxiety, selfishness, holding grudges, being deceitful, self-righteousness, has medical issues, uncertainty for the future, uncertainty for the day, financial worry, marriage problems, children problems, no hope. But Jesus is standing in God's garden and telling you, come on, precious child, let me fill your basket with all my choice fruits, with all my love, with all my grace, with all my hope, and with all my rest. Just abide in me. Let us pray. Father God, Father, thank you for your word that we can look at ourselves, Father. Father, that we can examine ourselves and abide in you, Father, to see where we're struggling, Father, to see where you can guide us and help us out, Father. Father, I pray for anyone that doesn't have faith in Christ, Father, that if today is the day, Father, that you would just have them let it go, Father, to talk to somebody, Father. Father, to reach out to one of the pastors, Father. Father, if there's something in their life hindering them, Father, that they would just give it to you. Father, I love you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.